Vote to signify their presence.
The roll shows 14 members present.
Would the members please stand for the invocation by our chaplain today, Senator Colin Bundy.
I found this prayer on the wall of a small shop in New Mexico, and I thought of the legislature and I'd like to share it with you. Let us pray. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Love and serve your Lord. Amen.
Amen. Senator Hoffman, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 117th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the journals be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journals will be approved as certified by the Secretary. Brings us down to our Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread upon the journal. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Do we have guests for introduction? Seeing none, can we take a brief at ease? When the Senate come back to order, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Davis be shown as excused for today and excuse from a call of session due to medical reasons.
Without objection, Senator Davis will be excused for the remainder of this legislative day. Mr. Majority Leader, Senator Cowdery just joined us.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. Move the Senate stand in recess to attend a joint session.
We will stand in recess to call the chair to attend the joint session. Would the Senate come back to order, please? Madam Secretary, where were we when we took the break? We are at messages from the governor.
Message dated May 17th stating I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Bill Number 11, amended Senate, effective date failed Senate. Deposits to the Permanent Fund, Chapter Number 22, SLA 2003. I have no further messages from the Governor.
Messages from the House.
Message dated May 17th stating the House has passed the following and it is returned. Senate Bill Number 210, an act regarding the computation of overtime compensation by employers before June 2, 1999 and providing for an effective date. It has been referred for enrollment. Messages dated May 17th stating the House has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 28, financed by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to adjustments to royalty reserved to the state to encourage otherwise uneconomic production of oil and gas and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
This is a message dated May 18th that's included with the others. CS for House Bill Number 145, financed by the House Finance Committee, an act prohibiting discrimination in the awarding of attorney fees and costs in civil actions or appeals to or against or in the posting of bonds or other security by public interest litigants and relating to awards of attorney fees and costs in cases involving enforcement of constitutional rights and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary Committee.
House Bill Number 199 by the House Rules Committee by request, an act removing the annual adjustment to the minimum wage based on the rate of inflation and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce.
House Bill Number 216 by the House Finance Committee. CS for House Bill Number 216, financed by the House Finance Committee. An act relating to and limiting municipal taxation of refined fuel and wholesale sales of fuel into the bulk fuel revolving loan fund.
Finance Committee.
CS for House Bill Number 230, State Affairs by the House State Affairs Committee. An act relating to political signs on private property.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
CS for House Bill Number 295, State Affairs, amended by the House State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the publishing, furnishing, and contents of certain notices regarding regulations or rules of certain state agencies and entities relating to distribution of the Alaska Administrative Code, Alaska Administrative Register, and supplements to the Code or Register and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
Message dated May 17th stating the House has passed Senate Joint Resolution Number 8 with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 8, Judiciary, relating to the division of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and it is transmitted for consideration.
Mr. Majority Leader.
We have ease for a moment, Mr. President.
Briefly. Would the Senate come back to order? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur with the House Amendment to Senate Joint Resolution Number 8. For the members' information...
Is it 8 or 88?
8.
Oh, 8. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
For the members' information, the changes took place on page 3, lines 19, and removed were the words such as the 1996 Ninth Circuit decision in Alaska versus Venati Village, which caused great political turmoil in Alaska, therefore being reversed by the Supreme Court. Those were removed in the House. We recommend a no vote on concurrence, Mr. President.
Mr. Minority Leader?
Well, Mr. President, in my humble opinion, the changes made by the other body were good, and I recommend a yes on the concurrence motion.
Is there further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to SJR number 8? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator French. Senator vote. French changes from no to yes. Any other member? Seeing none, Secretary will tally the roll.
3 yeas, 11 nays.
And by a vote of 3 yeas, 11 nays, the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Joint Resolution 8. We will be asking the House to consider receding from its amendments.
Message dated May 17th, stating the House has passed Senate Bill Number 88 with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill Number 88, Resources, an act relating to standards for forest resources and practices and providing for an effective date, and it is transmitted for consideration.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill Number 88. For the members' information, several changes occurred. Page 3, line 17. Inserted were with deference to the deputy commissioner, and then on page 19 they inserted state forester instead of the commissioner. On page 5, line 8, the state forester was again inserted instead of the commissioner. On page, and I think that's it. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's it. So those are the changes, and we recommend a yes vote on concurrence.
Is there any further debate? Question before the Senate is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 88? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
So by a vote of 15 yeas, 0 nays, the Senate has concurred in the House amendments to Senate Bill 88. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent to vote on concurrence to be the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on concurrence will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'd like to bring up concurrence on Senate Bill 98.
Is it 98 or 89?
Excuse me, 89. Pardon me. Senate Bill 89.
Message on that was read across yesterday. It was kept on the Secretary's desk. Should be in everybody's concurrence package. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to committee substitute to Senate Bill 89. For the members' information, changes occurred on page 3, line 2. They inserted quasi-judicial action, whereas we only had quasi-legislative action. Also on page 3, line 8, they inserted under existing statutes, regulations, or policies by the agency authorized to issue. And then again, change on page 4, beginning on line 26, modified that paragraph to say accept tickets that to or gifts received at a charity event under this paragraph are subject to the calendar year limit as outlined in A of this section. So, Mr. President, those are the changes. We recommend a no vote to changes on concurrence. Thank you.
Is there a debate, Mr. Minority Leader?
Mr. President, I recommend a no vote as well, but for a different reason. I wouldn't want anyone to think in any way, shape, or form that I would concur with this piece of legislation. And there's sometimes confusion about concurrence votes with members of the press and the public about what you're voting for. So I recommend a no vote as well, for a different reason.
Is there further debate? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 89 Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
0 yeas, 15 nays.
So by a vote of 0 yeas, 15 nays, the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 89 Judiciary. We will be asking the House to consider receding from their amendments. If they choose not to do so, we'll appoint members to a conference committee at that time.
Those are all the messages from the House, Mr. President.
Communications?
I have no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee considered House Bill number 232 and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Senate Committee substitute, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, Ben Stevens, Bundy. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered CS for House Bill number 245, Judiciary, effective date failed, suits and claims, military fire defense, previous indeterminate and zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator Seekins, chair, signing do not pass, Senator French, signing no recommendation, Senators Terrio, Ogun. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee considered CS for House Bill number 246, Resources, title amended, limit on oil and gas lease acreage, and recommends it be replaced with a Resources Senate Committee substitute, new zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Ogun, chair, Senator Ben Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senators Dyson, Elton. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee.
At this time, I'm going to remove the finance referral to House Bill 246. The proper zero fiscal note from the agency has caught up with the bill. That was the only reason that, since there was some question, that was the only reason I sent it to finance, so that referral will be removed. Brief at ease. Back to order. Madam Secretary.
The Finance Committee considered House Bill number 248, Salary of Chief Procurement Officer, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Green, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Ben Stevens, Bundy. Signing no recommendations, Senator Gary Wilkin, co-chair, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee.
Senator Green.
May we return to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll go back up to introduction of guests.
Thank you. Mr. President, it's a pleasure to have a friend of mine in visiting us here today. She and a group of women from MATSU have been here as part of the Beta Sigma Phi convention in Juneau. They've been having a wonderful time, and after they finish all their festivities, have come by the Capitol to visit us. If Irene Irvin could stand, you can help me welcome Irene to the Capitol.
Senator Ogun. Brief at ease. Senate, come back to order. Senator Ogun.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce a couple of folks from my district. Young lady I've known for quite a while. I'm married to a really good friend of mine. In fact, her husband is directly responsible for talking me into running for office. So you can blame her husband. And it's Beverly Tanner. And with her is another constituent I have in town today. That's Bobby Dahl.
Takes us back down the calendar.
The Finance Committee considered CS for House Joint Resolution number 27, State Affairs, Support Anchorage Jail Expansion, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Green, co-chair, Senators Hoffman, Ben Stevens, Bundy, signing no recommendation, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 73, ADA Authority to Issue Bonds, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senator Ben Stevens. Finding no recommendation, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, Bundy. The bill is on today's calendar. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 112, Increased Motor Fuel Tax, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute. New Zero Fiscal Notes. Signing do pass, Senator Green, co-chair, Senator Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senators Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson. The bill is on today's calendar. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill number 112, Finance, ADA, Bonds and Municipal Tax Exemption, and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Senate Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senator Bundy. The bill is on today's calendar. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill number 165, Hess, effective date failed, community schools. Previous zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senator Ben Stevens. Signing do not pass, Senator Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, Bundy. The bill is on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees.
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
I have no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
I have no Senate bills.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 73 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the authority of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority to issue bonds and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal notes. Signing do pass, Senator Bundy chair, Senators Seekins, Davis, French, Gary Stevens. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Finance Senate Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chair, Senator Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, Bundy. There is one Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Wilkin.
Mr. President, move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance CS will be considered in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered gross, advanced, third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, the bill will be advanced to third reading.
CS for Senate Bill number 73, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee. An act relating to the Loan Participation Program of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and to regulations of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill makes five changes to the program. One, it increases the percentage of a loan participation by ADA from 80% to 90%. Two, it increases the maximum dollar amount ADA can purchase per loan transaction from $10 to $20 million, allowing ADA the opportunity to participate in larger financial transactions to the benefit of Alaska banks and businesses. Three, it allows for equity extractions to finance other business activities in Alaska that are not necessarily connected to the original finance project. Four, it allows ADA to purchase participations in existing qualified loans held by financial institutions. And fifth, it allows for the establishment of a minimum interest rate regardless of ADA's funding source for the loan participation, which could either be bond proceeds or ADA funds.
Do we have further debate? Brief it. Senate, come back to order. We are in third reading. Is there debate? No more debate. The question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
So by a vote of 14 yeas, 0 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, Finance, has passed the Senate. Brief at ease. Senate, come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Next item, please.
CS for Senate Bill number 112, Transportation, by the Senate Transportation Committee, an act increasing the motor fuel tax, repealing the special tax rates on blended fuels, removing the motor fuel tax exemption of the Alaska Railroad relating to tax refunds for government agency purchases of fuel, and providing for an effective date. The Transportation Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with a Transportation Committee substitute, previous fiscal and previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Cowdery chair, signing do not pass, Senators Olson, Lincoln, signing no recommendation, Senators Terrio, Wagner. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute, new zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Green, co-chair, Senator Stevens, Ben Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson. The bill is, there is a Senate Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Mr. Minority Leader.
Have an explanation of how radically changed this version is, please.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. The bill has been changed at the Department of Administration's request. All references to taxes of any sort are removed from the bill. There's a single section left, which is lines 4 through 13. And that section allows a credit card issuer to apply for a tax refund for fuel sold to state agencies which purchase fuel with a state credit card. That's the single purpose of the Finance Committee substitute.
Is the objection maintained? Seeing no briefings. Senator Wilkin.
President, move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to remove my motion to adopt the Finance Committee substitute.
Without objection, that motion is withdrawn. Just for the information of the body, the Secretary has indicated she read the wrong version. Senator Wilkin has removed his motion. Now she can read the correct version, and then he'll replace it. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill Number 112 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act increasing the motor fuel tax and repealing the special tax rates on blended fuels and providing for an effective date.
Senator Wilkin. No. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, the bill will advance to third reading.
CS for Senate Bill Number 112, Finance, an act relating to tax refunds for government agency purchases of fuel and providing for an effective date.
We are on third reading. Under debate, Senator Bundy.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. SB 112 is a technical fix to expand the current practice of how fuel taxes are recouped and how they're accounted for when the state uses credit cards to purchase fuel. Basically, it says that when we purchase the fuel with a state credit card, the full price is paid, including the tax, but through the process, the state will be recouped for the taxes.
Do we have any further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 112, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
18 yeas, 1 nay.
So by a vote of 18 yeas to 1 nay, committee substitute for Senate Bill 112, Finance, has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent to vote on final passage be considered the vote for the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
House Bill Number 14, amended by Representatives Faith, Guerra, Lynn. An act relating to an absence from the state while providing care for a terminally ill family member for purposes of determining eligibility for a permanent fund dividend and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a State Affairs Senate Committee substitute, previous zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Gary Stevens, chair, signing no recommendation, Senators Dyson, Guest, Cowdery. The Finance Committee referral was waived. There is a State Affairs Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Gary Stevens.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate CS for House Bill Number 14 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Senate State Affairs CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
House Bill 14 will carry forward to our next calendar.
House Bill number 79 by the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Senate Committee substitute. Previous fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Ben Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senators Olson, Bundy. There is a Finance Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
House Bill 79 will carry forward to our next calendar. Senator Taylor. Would the Senate come back to order, please?
CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 86, Judiciary amended by the House Judiciary Committee. An act relating to state permitted projects and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Judiciary Senate Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Seekins, Chair, Senators Terrio, Ogun. Signing do not pass, Senators French, Ellis. There is a Judiciary Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that that Senate bills. Senate CS for CS for SS for House Bill number 86, Judiciary, be considered in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Mr. Minority Leader.
Could we have a public explanation here on the floor of the major change that was made?
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you notice that on page 1, there is a purpose and findings section that directly addresses the provisions of Sections 3 and 4 of this Act. You'll then turn to page 3, line 15, the word baseless was inserted between the words A and legal. And if you'll turn to page 4, section 4 has been inserted.
Is the objection maintained, Mr. Minority Leader?
Mr. President, I think section 4 deserves an explanation, so I'd respectfully ask the co-chair or the chair of Resources to explain the impact and import of Section 4.
Senator Ogun.
Thank you, Mr. President. All right. He wants an explanation of Section 4, is that correct?
That's correct.
We have a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Would the Senate come back to order, please? Senator Ogun.
Thank you, Mr. President. This section of the bill basically brings a linear process to the permitting process for the Cook Inlet Basin. It says that all processes that are final, the final authorizations and permits approved by DEC, Fish and Game, and Resources are authorized and approved by the legislature. It also allows a section that they can challenge it on based on constitutional basis and essentially brings a linear final process to these permits.
Is the objection maintained? The objection is maintained. We therefore have a vote on the adoption of the Judiciary Senate CS. Is there any further questions? The question before the body is, shall the Judiciary Senate Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
12 yeas, 7 nays.
So by a vote of 12 yeas to 7 nays, the Senate Judiciary CS has been adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have amendment number 1 by Senator French, which has been distributed.
Senator French.
Mr. President, I would move amendment number 1 and ask for unanimous consent.
There is objection.
Mr. President, Amendment number 1 would have the effect of restoring this bill to the previous version that we took up in Senate Judiciary just a few days ago. It would have the effect of stripping out Sections 1, Sections 3, and Sections 4, leaving Section 2 alone. Section 2, I know I'm not supposed to talk about it too much, but I'll just let the folks know here. Section 2 is a bill that came over from the House we worked on. It has to do with slap suits or countersuing on weak or baseless claims brought to stop development. And frankly, the committee was pretty much happy with the way that bill looked. And then we got this amendment, which basically put Sections 1, Sections 3, and Sections 4 into the bill, the parts I'm trying to strip out with this amendment. The testimony we heard in the committee regarding the need for those sections came from Forest Oil. And Forest Oil has been developing a readout platform in the Cook Inlet. And it seems like they've been having some trouble with their development down there. They keep running into legal problems. And they gave us a chronology of some 10 years of litigation that they'd been undergoing in that project. And I expressed that if I'd been sued for 10 years, I'd be unhappy too. But in looking through the materials they provide and some of the other materials that came to light in the committee, I started to think, well, maybe this is just the gang that can't shoot straight. I mean, maybe these guys from Denver just aren't up to doing a good job of developing here in Alaska in our difficult conditions. For example, one of the problems they had during the course of their development was, and it was found by the Alaska Supreme Court, that they were putting toxic wastewater in the Cook Inlet. And I think most people would agree that that's a bad thing to do, and they shouldn't be encouraged to do that. Their legal difficulties with the exploration phase of the development were cured last year with a bill passed by this legislature. And I see they're back here again this year trying to cure another problem with these amendments that we're trying to strip out today. This is an outside firm. It's not having luck getting its business done here in the state. And I think it's worth pointing out that other developments have been successful down at Cook Inlet during the same time that they're struggling mightily to get their program through to completion, through all the permit processes and the associated litigation. The Kenai-Kachemak pipeline and its related pads and facilities went through without lawsuits. ConocoPhillips' Cosmopolitan project on Sturiski Creek went through without lawsuits. And there have been Cook Inlet area-wide lease sales for the past couple of years that have gone through without lawsuits. So it's not as if all development has stopped in Cook Inlet. I have many times stood up and said I'm a firm and a loyal supporter of development in Cook Inlet. I worked there. I've spent 5 years on a platform in Cook Inlet. I know a fair amount about it. But if you can't keep the toxic wastewater, you know, in the tank where it belongs, if you're going to put it over the side where you know, the fish swim that I like to catch in Bird Creek and so forth, then I think you need to get your business straight. And so my feeling is they need to keep working on their process, and if it's in court, it's in court, and you should stay there. And as long as that's going on according to the law, that's just fine. So this amendment would restore the bill to the way it came to us from the House. It would restore the bill to a fairly, it's a bill that will be useful for developers and trying to sort of push back a little bit on environmentalists. But that's the heart of the bill, and the sort of the icing, I guess, on the cake, on the top and the bottom, is this piece for Forest Oil, which I object to. And so I'm hoping that the other members will join me in voting for this amendment to restore the bill to the way it came to us from the House, and keep it a good, clean bill, and also keep the waters and Cook Inlet just as clean. Thank you.
Do we have any further debate? Senator Ogun.
Thank you. I rise in opposition to the amendment. First of all, with all due respect to my friend and colleague that just spoke, the suits were not against Forest Oil, they were against the state. And there was one assertion made that troubled me, that we can't keep the toxic wastewater where it belongs. And Mr. President, this project may be the most litigated project in the history of the state. I don't know that, but I look at the chart of the different things that have been suits and things that have been brought and assist. It's absolutely amazing that this company is still doing business in the state. Because I think the objectives of the suit, because they have been suits, plural, have been baseless up to this point. The amendment guts the bill, essentially, or what I consider some of the most important parts of the bill. The amendment would take away Section 3, which is, an important balance between due process and a linear process in permitting. Section 3, I think, is crafted very well in the fact that it allows a person to appeal, but only through an affected coastal resource district or if there's a claim, a constitutional claim. And so if someone feels that they're due process rights are violated, they could say, hey, this, you know, I have a due process issue here, and they can get standing. The legislature has the authority to give standing to whom it wishes. And we are giving standing to the affected coastal resource district and individuals on constitutional basis. So that portion would be gutted, and I think that would bring, again, put an undue burden on any operator that's trying to operate in the Cook Inlet Basin. We already discussed Section 4 when Minority Leader asked for an explanation of the bill. I think that's an extremely important portion of the bill because, again, it brings a linear process. I remember the first time my first year in the legislature, there was some discussion in the Resources Committee, which I was a member of, and something that was said back then really struck me, that developers need a linear process. They need to know when they apply for a permit, that's hoop A that they jump through, and then they jump through a series of hoops that could go as far as Z or maybe start back, you know, but when they get to Z, they need to know that that's the end of the process. And this section of the bill says that you're at hoop Z. This has been one of the most litigated projects in the history of the state, and you now have your permits. So I would, time is not on our side. There are those that would delay for the sake of delay, and we have preserved, well, that's another bill, I won't go into it. But I would really strongly urge the members to vote against this amendment. Thank you.
Do we have further debate? Senator French, as a wrap-up.
Thanks, Mr. President. I guess I'm still stuck with the feeling that maybe forest oil isn't quite ready for prime time. Developing oil offshore in the Cook Inlet is an intensely challenging task. The tides there are the second highest tides in the world. The platforms out there undergo extreme amounts of abuse from the weather, from the ice pans, from the winds, and so forth. The players out there are all longtime experienced oil industry players. I worked for Shell Oil Company, and Shell's long been a worldwide leader in offshore platform development, both in Cook Inlet, in the Gulf of Mexico, in the North Sea, and they've developed that expertise. And when they came here to develop here in Alaska, they brought that expertise with them. The other players out there are Amoco, Unocal, Marathon. These are big international oil companies that are used to dealing with the adverse conditions of offshore development. And it may be the forest oil is small, independent from Denver, Colorado. It's just not quite up to the task, and that's why they've been embroiled in this litigation for 10 years. Other oil companies operating in Cook Inlet are not caught up in the same litigation. And so it's my belief that they should continue to struggle with whatever legal problems they're having to get their processes right, to learn maybe through this painful process how we do it in Alaska. And when they get through that learning and they're ready to hew to the tough line that we set for them, then we'll welcome them and let them develop and provide us with jobs. For the time being, I think they need to go back to school. Thank
you. Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall Amendment number 1 be adopted by the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Wagner? Senator Wagner changes from yea to nay. Does any other senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
6 yeas. 12 nays.
So by a vote of 6 yeas, 12 nays, the amendment fails to pass the Senate.
I have no further amendments.
House Bill 86 will be carried forward to third reading in our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 104, Fisheries, by the House Special Committee on Fisheries, an act relating to payment of the fisheries business tax and to security for collection of the fisheries business tax. The Resources Committee considered the bill. Previous fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Wagner, Vice Chair, Senator Seekins, Ben Stevens, Dyson, Lincoln, Elton. The Finance Committee considered the bill. Previous fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Green, Co-Chair, Senators Taylor, Ben Stevens, Bundy. Signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. I have no amendments.
House Bill 104 will be carried forward to third reading in our next calendar. Senator Ogun.
Mr. President, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 112 and bring it up at this time. That would be an act increasing. The problem is, I read that. Here it is. An act relating to tax refunds for government agency purchases of fuel and providing for an effective date.
Can we have a brief of these, please, Senator? Senate, come back to order. Senator Ogun.
Mr. President, due to the fact that we'll probably reconsider this tomorrow, I will withdraw the motion.
Senator, are you giving notice of reconsideration at this time?
I would like to, since I've withdrawn that motion, I move or serve notice of reconsideration of Senate Bill 112.
Thank you. Notice of reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill 112.
You have, sir.
Madam Secretary.
CS for House Bill number 112, financed by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to the authority of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority to issue bonds into a municipal tax exemption for certain assets and projects of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends a Finance Senate Committee substitute, previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, and Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senator Bundy. There is a Finance Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Wilkin.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
House Bill 112 will carry forward to third reading at our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 154, financed by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to advancement in public school of children under school age and providing for an effective date, for the act of July 1st, 2004. The Finance Committee considered the bill, previous fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Bundy, Ben Stevens, signing do not pass, Senators Hoffman, Olson. I have no amendments.
House Bill 154 will be carried forward to third reading on our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 165, Hess, effective date failed by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to community schools. The Finance Committee considered the bill, previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senator Ben Stevens, signing do not pass, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson, Bundy. I have no amendments.
House Bill 165 will carry forward to our next calendar and third reading.
House Bill number 171, amended by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act repealing the Charter School Grant Program and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, previous fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Bundy, Ben Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson. I have no amendments.
House Bill 171 will carry forward to third reading on our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 174, finance amended by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to the state centralized correspondence study program to funding for educational programs that occur primarily outside school facilities and to the duties of school boards of borough and city school districts in regional educational attendance areas and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, previous fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Gary Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Bundy, Ben Stevens, signing no recommendation, Senators Hoffman, Taylor, Olson. I have no amendments.
House Bill 174 will carry forward to our next calendar and third reading.
CS for House Bill number 210, resources by the House Resources Committee, an act relating to the Chitna Dipnet fishery and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, previous fiscal and zero fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Taylor, Bundy, Ben Stevens, signing do not pass, Senators Hoffman, Olson. I have no amendments.
House Bill 210 will carry forward to third reading on our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 214, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the recovery of punitive damages against an employer who is determined to be vicariously liable for the act or omission of an employee and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Bundy, Chair. Signing no recommendation, Senator Ogun, Vice Chair, Senator Terrio. Signing do pass, Senator French. There is a Judiciary Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Seekins.
A brief at ease, please.
Brief. Senate come back to order. Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate CS for House Bill number 214, Judiciary Committee CS for 214, be considered in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection.
Changes,
Mr. Minor.
Please.
Could you explain this? Changes, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you take a look at the in Section 1, we included some language in there to say that the punitive damages may not be awarded against on line 8 with the words after the employer or the employer's managerial agent. But down to line 12, we added or the employer's managerial agent. And on line 13, after B was employed in a managerial capacity and was acting with the scope of employment, and then on through line 3 on page 2. And those were additions to the bill.
Is the objection maintained? Seeing none, the Judiciary CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
House Bill 214 will carry forward to third reading on our next calendar.
House Bill number 256 by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to a dividend payment to the state made by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation each fiscal year and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended adoption of the Finance Senate Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senators Green, Wilkin, co-chairs, Senators Bendy, Ben Stevens. Signing no recommendation, Senators Taylor, Hoffman, Olson. There is a Finance Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Wilkin.
Mr. President, I was moving to ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
House Bill 256 will carry forward to third reading on our next calendar.
CS for House Bill number 257, Judiciary amended by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the disclosure requirements for real estate licensees to disciplinary action against real estate licensees to private actions and remedies against real estate licensees and to real estate licensee agency relationships and duties and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Labor and Commerce Senate Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing do pass, Senator Bendy Chair, Senators Seekins, Gary Stevens. There is a Labor and Commerce Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Bundy.
I'd move the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Mr. Minority,
changes, please.
Could we have an explanation of the changes?
Yes, the changes in Labor and Commerce adopted are on page 4, line 19, subsection E. They rewrote the sentence so a person may only sue for actual damages. This was at the request of the bill sponsor. And section 5 was added back that had been removed in the House. That section deals with applicability and retroactivity.
Is the objection maintained? Mr. Minority Leader?
Could I just request the Senator give us a little more information about the issue of dual agency and how that was handled in this committee substitute?
Senator Bundy?
Well, the dual agency was not addressed specifically. The retroactivity addresses an ongoing suit that focuses on technicalities or perhaps technical violations of the dual agency, current dual agency law, but nothing in this bill is focused on the a prominent lawsuit that involved dual agency. Hopefully that provides more information.
Is the objection maintained? Seeing none, the Labor and Commerce CS will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. House Bill 257 will carry forward in third reading on our next calendar. Brief at ease. Will the Senate come back to order? Madam Secretary.
CS for Senate Bill number 215, State Affairs, an act relating to a lease purchase agreement for the construction and equipping of and the financing of a seafood and food safety laboratory facility to be operated by the Department of Environmental Conservation, including the issuance of certificates of participation in the use of certain investment income for certain construction and equipping costs and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not much debate. I've looked at the figures on this project, and I'd just like the body to know I can't vote for this project. The straight figures with the initial design costs are running over $750 a square foot. With the financing on it, it's over $1,000 a square foot. And if we pass this, this will be the most expensive facility square foot price I think the state of Alaska has ever built. And I just don't think we need it at this time.
Do we have further debate? Senator Ogun.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate the efforts of the former speaker in looking at alternatives to this. I have a couple concerns. One, I echo the concerns that it's a very expensive building. It's at a time when we're asking Alaskans to make great sacrifices, and I'm not sure it's a, you know, it'll be a beautiful building. I've looked over the plans in detail. Right now, the existing building is in an old Piggly Wiggly in downtown Palmer. Piggly Wiggly, for those that don't know, is an old grocery store chain. And it's definitely run down. It's out of date. It's unable to handle some kind of a, like if we had a, you know, with the terrorist threats and things that are going on these days, we would be hard-pressed to analyze very hazardous or toxic substances there. So there is a need to do something. I will admit that for sure. And the lease is out, and the property owner would like to get the property back and do something else with it. But I just, the other concern I have is that instead of an outright purchase, that this is proposed, this is a lease purchase. And you know, we're not supposed to incur debt in the state without a vote of the people. And lease purchases is kind of an end run around that. And it's done, and I got to be honest with you, I've been guilty of doing it myself in the past. But in this days of a real serious fiscal constraint, we want to scrutinize that and look to see if we're going to be incurring, kind of an end run of incurring a lot of debt. We looked at the possibility of putting this in the seafood facility that is in Anchorage, and the costs were a wash, I think about $1 million less, but the savings, the long-term savings on the debt service was about $1 million a year, if memory serves me. So anyway, I know there's a need for it. If we don't make a decision this year, it could compromise DEC's ability to process these types of things efficiently, and we don't have the capabilities that in a dire emergency we may need if we don't do this. But I guess I'm going to push the red button because I object to spending this much money and building at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there further debate? Can we have a brief at ease? Senate, come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Please call the Senate.
Call has been placed on the Senate. Debate can continue while the call is being satisfied. Do we have further debate? We will take a brief at ease while the call is satisfied.
This lab was going to be placed. I know many have thought that it could be put within the fish processing facility there in the Anchorage area, and that did not work out. Since 9/11, there have been several major scares that have gone on in our state. And with a new lab in place, especially out there in Tudor, close to the existing lab facilities for our criminal lab and also for public health, I think there's a symbiosis that occurs when you have those facilities close to one another. I still believe that a sub-lab will be necessary to enhance the dive fisheries, especially in Southeast, and I'm hoping that technologically these may not have to be very big facilities for just PSP testing, paralytic shellfish poison testing. But to be at the stage we are now, where the existing lease has run out, or will shortly. The facilities there are inadequate, and we have already spent the state's money to develop and design this facility. I think this facility is well worth it, and it's something that we need to move on with. The dive fisheries in Alaska is the fastest growing fishery we have. It produced close to $100 million in gross profit just last year. I think that's an exciting portion of our seafood economy that we need to help and enhance, and the central location of this facility will certainly do that, especially for the development of the dive fisheries within the Prince William Sound area, which has tremendous potential. And so with that, I would commend it to you and ask for your vote.
Do we have further debate? Senator Gary Stevens.
Mr. President, I sat on a couple of meetings on this, and we were sort of sidetracked at one point looking at the ASI building in Anchorage. And the truth of the matter is that after we fully studied it, that we would be using only about 10% of that building for the seafood lab. And it would be particularly difficult to use the other, find somebody who would use the other 90% that would not interrupt or interfere with rather delicate instruments that are used for the seafood lab. Also found that that if we were to use the ASI building, the COPs would not be available as certificates of participation. As a prior speaker mentioned, the lease is up. This is a real need, and this facility would be near the airport, and I urge you to vote for it.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall the Senate approve committee substitute for Senate Bill 215, State Affairs? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, tally the roll.
9 yeas, 10 nays.
So by a vote of 9 yeas, 10 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 215, State Affairs, fails to pass the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader. Senator Taylor.
Notice of reconsideration.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on the bill. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move without asking unanimous consent. We return to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we will go back up to introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the gallery behind me, it's my pleasure to introduce five people that have been here in Juneau with me the entire time since the beginning of January. They're anxious for the session to end and to go home. On our left is my son, Ben. Next to him is my son, Augustus, and we call him Augie. And then my daughter, Susan. Of course, my wife, Elizabeth. And we have the little guy that's named after the airport, my son Teddy. Please welcome my family.
He's the only kid in the state named after an airport. Madam Secretary, next item.
Senate Bill number 223, an act naming the state ferry first operating to serve between Metlakatla and Ketchikan and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading on Senate Bill 223. Do we have debate? Senator Cowdery.
Thank you. Mr. President, all marine highway vessels are named after an Alaska glacier. We have a new ferry coming online currently under construction for service between Metlakatla and Ketchikan. Students through SA competitions and have named previous ferries. This year, the winner of the SA competition was Josiah Milner from Metlakatla. He is in the second grade. His winning essay name is La Viuta. He chose this glacier on Glacier National Park, and this is where the biggest earthquake hit in 1958, the biggest wave hit and after the 8.0 earthquake. The legislature must confirm the name of the vessel, and let's thank young Joshi today for bypassing this legislation by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Do we have further debate? Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could add a little bit to that, Metlakatla being in my district, this is a young second grader, and if you don't mind, Mr. President, with the leave of the body, it's three paragraphs, and I think it deserves recognition of this Josiah Milne, who wrote the essay. If I could have leave of the body to read that.
Without objection, go ahead.
As a second grader now, he wrote, "All ferries in Alaska are named after glaciers. I picked Latuya Glacier. It is in Glacier Bay National Monument. It was named in 1917 by J.B. Myrtle, Jr. A glacier is a big river of ice that slides down a mountain. It carries rocks and trees down. When glaciers calve into the water, they become icebergs. I chose Latuya because it was where the biggest tsunami hit. It happened on July 1, 1958, after an 8.0 earthquake hit. It caused a large landslide in the bay. I think that we should name the new ferry Latuya because that was where the biggest wave hit. Josiah Melny, second grade in Metlakatla. And I too, want to honor the young students for getting involved in the history of Alaska and being active in naming some of our marine vessel ferries. So with that, I urge everyone to support this.
Do we have further debate? Senator Ogun.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief here. That name is a special name to me because a very good friend of mine here in Southeast Alaska had a boat by the name of Latuya. It's a fine old wooden vessel. I spent quite a bit of time on it out in Icy Strait. And Latuya Bay, for those that you don't know, is between Icy Strait and Yakutat, about halfway. And it's an amazing story if you ever get the opportunity to read it. When there was an earthquake, a huge chunk of the mountain slid down into Latuya Bay, and it caused such a big tidal wave from that that it washed up like 1,200 or 1,500 feet up the side of the mountain, completely denuded the mountainside of trees all the way up. You can see that scar there today. The tidal wave washed over the a little peninsula that blocks most of the entrance of the bay. And there was a fisherman, a couple of fishermen, I believe, anchored in Latuya Bay that were actually washed up and over those trees, and, you know, 100-foot trees and over that peninsula, ended up out in the Gulf of Alaska and survived it and were later rescued. It's an amazing story in Alaska's history, and I would encourage those that haven't read about it to do it. It's really pretty remarkable. And it's a place I've always wanted to go to. I was hoping someday I will go there, but it's a pretty remarkable bay, and I think it's a great bill, and I just couldn't help but stand up because I love the old wooden Latuya. It's a wooden boat, and it's a beautiful old boat. Thank you.
Any further debate? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall Senate Bill 223 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
19 yeas. Zero nays.
By a vote of 19 yeas, 0 nays, Senate Bill 223 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent the vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Senator Wagner, brief at ease. Will the Senate come back to order? Madam Secretary, next item.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 49, Judiciary. An act relating to the deoxyribonucleic acid DNA identification registration system and testing and providing for an effective date.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure to carry this bill here today for its sponsor. The bill, as it's outlined, is going to do a lot to ensure two things in the future. One, that we catch and prosecute and put in prison more guilty people, and two, that we exonerate more innocent people. Plan as it's outlined will apply to people who are convicted of felonies or who are convicted of misdemeanor sex crimes and to those people who have already been convicted and are serving time for those crimes. It doesn't apply to people who are arrested. It doesn't apply to people who get their convictions overturned on appeal, but it will apply to the folks I've outlined. DNA will help us someday, I hope, catch the person or persons who killed Bonnie Craig in Anchorage. That human being is still out there. He's not been detected. There is some DNA, I understand, from that crime scene, and someday if we get enough samples, we'll match that up and be able to bring justice to that sad occurrence. It also, DNA recently exonerated an individual in my town of Anchorage. There was a person arrested after a rape at UAA. He was identified by people at the scene as being the perpetrator, and yet DNA evidence exonerated him and helped arrest the right person for that crime, thus keeping a misjustice from happening. One statistic I'd like to point out, and then I'll sit down, is from the Virginia DNA database. Because I know there's some concern here about overexpanding the crimes that we include in the database, but the Virginia experience, I think, casts some light on how powerful this tool can be. 82% of the hits would have been missed if the data bank in Virginia were limited only to violent offenders. And I think that tells us that if we collect enough DNA samples from this criminal group, these convicted felons, we'll solve more crimes in the future. And when they reoffend, we'll catch them faster and keep them from offending yet again. And so I urge this bill to the folks here on the floor here today and hope for their support. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I cast a vote in favor of the legislation, I want to strike for the body a cautionary note about this. I have full appreciation for the power and the utility of the use of DNA samples and
in the solving of crimes, of convicting the guilty and freeing the innocent. That's very important to me and to all of us. So I will support the legislation because of the power and utility of this technology and this tool to find justice, especially for victims of violent crimes. The cautionary note, though, Mr. President, is I really think it needs to be put on the record that there is great or growing commercial value assigned to the collection of DNA, and we should note that we will know everything about folks that we collect DNA samples for, convicted criminals. But in addition to that, the government will know much about all of the blood relatives of the convicted criminals, innocent folks who are just related by blood to the criminals. And as I said, there's growing commercial value to that material. It would be fair to say that the state has a mixed record, not with the keeping and privacy of the protection of these samples, but in other public records that are to be kept confidential for law enforcement purposes. And I think other members know of whereof I speak in that regard. So I just want to say that we need to be ever vigilant and really make sure the resources are available and the right people are in place who handle this very sensitive information so that it's collected for the correct purposes and not used for any other purpose. At some day, there may be a physical constraint that would tempt us to allow use of these of this information for other commercial purposes, I think in the realm of insurance, to know everything, all the genetic information about thousands and thousands of Alaskans would be very useful to a number of people in a commercial sense. And this information should always be kept in strictest confidence because it's not just information we know about the criminals, but we know about the genetic predisposition for diseases of all the blood relatives, or could know that, because of the mapping of the human genome. So we'll enter the brave new world of DNA evidence and the power of that to convict the guilty and free the innocent, but we should just always be mindful that there is a growing commercial value, and it's a way to know things about people that are not under the purview of the government or incarcerated. So let's use it for the purpose we intend. Let's be ever vigilant about the maintenance of the privacy of that information and to resist any commercial or financial, fiscal temptations in the future for use of this, because we know everything. Science will let us know just about everything about an individual, and that's an awesome source of information for the government. And it should be used wisely, and I expect that's what will happen. I have confidence in the folks who've assured me of the systems and the checks in place on this information. But let's just go forward knowing that it should be used in the way that we would intend it with the passage of this legislation.
For the debate, Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was fortunate to be in finance and hear testimony from the state crime lab on this information, and privacy was an issue that was addressed and a concern that many of us had. However, I believe that the privacy of our citizens will be well protected. The samples are all basically anonymous. They're in some code that cannot be accessed by some casual user of the system, and the DNA test simply has some markers in it that will allow a comparison with another sample. It does not get into health issues. It does not get into genetic predispositions for health problems. So I think the idea that a suspect's DNA could divulge private information about his or her relatives is probably not warranted at this time.
Senator Ogden.
Mr. President, I think this is an issue where the right wing and the left wing kind of meet together and share some concerns. I appreciate the bill sponsor amending the bill on page 3, line 28. They amended out the words law enforcement purposes. I thought that was a little bit too broad. It just narrowed it down to criminal investigations, prosecutions, and identification of human remains. My concern with the bill was I've been around for a few years around this building, and some would say a few years too long, but I remember when we added on the category of burglary to the existing crimes that we would take DNA samples. Now we're going down into some pretty, some bad misdemeanors, but misdemeanors nonetheless, and all felonies. And so basically, the way this bill is written, if a couple high school kids were having inappropriate and illegal sexual relations, like if there was too much of an age difference, but they were boyfriend-girlfriend, and there was a complaint brought, and they were convicted of that, then the DNA sample gets taken. I think, it's lowering the bar a little bit too much for me.
The other concern I have, and I share the minority leader's concerns about how the information is used, and I think there's some sidebars on it, but if you stop and think about it, if an insurance company really wanted to get information on people, they'd simply contract with a barbershop and say, you know, write down the name of every customer that comes in and provide us a hair sample, and we'll give you $10 a sample or something. So I think, you know, I was at an amend on the recommendation, if memory serves me. I didn't think the concerns were valid enough to vote no or hold the bill up, but I would like to maybe do some more work next year, maybe make that information that you can't take DNA from somebody and use it in a way that violates their privacy from a barbershop or, you know, I can think of another thing, some other places people can get DNA. So that's something that we might consider to put some additional sidebars and make sure that people's, because we're not talking about just like fingerprints. Imagine when fingerprints first came out, it might have been controversial to some people. Oh my gosh, they'll be able to tell who you are. Well, nowadays that's just, you know, routine. Yeah, fingerprints is a form of identification. So this is modern day fingerprinting, except it goes much farther than identification. It goes into your bloodlines, it gives information about all your relatives, and can tell what kind of genetic predispositions you have for diseases and things like that. So this is not just identification. And so that's why I think we need to be sensitive about what we do here. But I'll be pushing the yes button and maybe doing a little bit of work on this next year in my spare time, or some other people might have some interest in it, work on some additional work on this. Thank you very much.
Senator Cowdery.
I think this is a good bill. I appreciate the debate on proving the guilt of criminals, but also I appreciate the fact that you can prove them innocent, too. And that's why just a modern way of balancing things, and I'd urge everybody to support this bill.
Senator Guess?
Thank you, Mr. President. In response to my friend behind me from the Met, Sue, I too am concerned when we get down to the misdemeanor level, but I think it is more of a problem, and maybe we can work on it in the interim, on what's a misdemeanor versus what's a felony. Instead of saying we're not going to include those things because it's a misdemeanor, maybe we need to relook at some of these sex offenses that are misdemeanors and rethink on maybe they should be felonies. I think the discussion has been a good one, and I just wanted to stand up and say that I support the bill, and I appreciate one of the House member from the part of my district, and actually now my representative, from bringing it forward and being here today for the vote. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Certainly, as we look at the micromolecular structures that we are contemplating here, each of us are made up of as very unique individuals. We want to maintain that uniqueness, and certainly there is the issue of privacy. I assure you that we are working on something to make sure that somebody's DNA is not being used for commercial purposes against their will, and that'll be coming up on a bill that, in the next fall. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you. I really appreciate the comments, because this is a serious matter. It's wonderful that technology has now given us an opportunity to vindicate people that were inappropriately incarcerated. It has sped up the judicial process immeasurably and provided good proof where none might have been available before. All of those salient benefits are of course, they all come with a price, and that price may very well be some loss of individual freedoms and personality, or privacy, I should say, for each of us as an individual, something we treasure greatly and is incorporated within our Constitution. I'm voting for this and support it for each of those good reasons, but I don't do so blindly or naively. I've had the unfortunate experience of being within this body during a period of time when the very same people who are assuring us of the confidentiality of this information come from the agency that grossly violated the privacy rights of 76 different people in this state when they utilized the Alaska Public Safety Information Network, APSIN, to check on all of those people. They just happened to be candidates, and they checked for criminal background, and it's my firm belief that out of that checking came advertisements that were used against those candidates. That violation of individual rights went so far that one candidate's 13 or 14-year-old daughter had a background check done on her. We know that illegal background checks were done involving employees in the city of Wasilla. The mayor herself had a background check done on her and her family through this network. It was supposed to be a felony. The previous administration covered the entire thing up through the use of the Attorney General's office, I might say the misuse of that office. Even though 17 of those people were referred for felony prosecution Mr. Dean Guanelli of the Attorney General's office could not find one of those people that warranted prosecution. That's the very same people that are assuring us of the confidentiality of this system. So I have very strong concerns about that. I believe my colleague from Nome, who worries about the commercial misutilization, if you will, of DNA organs, or DNA information. We've got an incident that occurred in Mexico just recently. 20-some different people were killed down there, and one of the theories they were investigating those deaths on is that someone might have been killing people just to appropriate those organs and then sell them. Fingerprints, from my information, the colleague behind me, fingerprints are protected. And in fact, you can't take juvenile fingerprints without an order of the court. And those protections are there for various reasons also. I'm supporting the bill. I know most of us are. But I did want to put on the record my concerns, just as each of the other members have, because I think those concerns are genuine, but I have faith that this body will see, too, making certain that those concerns are protected in the future. Thank you.
Do we have further debate? Senator French, quick wrap-up.
Thank you, Mr. President. The debate I just heard makes me proud, really. It makes me proud of being Alaskan, because I know the people in this state are fiercely protective of their privacy, and they're fiercely protective of anything that would invade that privacy. This bill addresses that, addresses it by making it a Class C felony offense, by making a felon out of any law enforcement individual, any crime lab individual, or anybody who seeks to misuse this information. And I think that should give some comfort to the folks who are here tonight expressing reservations. There's also the slippery slope concern, that this is the beginning of a trend into less appealing world, less private world, a world where the authorities can look into our genetic code and see what kind of people we are. I think as long as the people of this state are represented by the quality of folks we have here on this floor who are examining these laws, that we'll be okay. And so I just thank you all for your debate.
There's no further debate. The question before the body is, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 49 Judiciary pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
By vote of 19 yeas, 0 nays, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 49 Judiciary has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
I'm asking unanimous consent vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clauses. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm wondering if Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 49 is available for cross-sponsorship.
It should be.
I would ask for unanimous consent that I be added as a cross-sponsor.
Senator French would like to be added, along with Senators Dyson, Gary Stevens, Wagner, Seekins, Lincoln, Elton, Taylor, Ben Stevens, Guess, Bundy, Cowdery, Wilkin, and Green. Okay, can we have a brief of these, please?
Will the Senate come back to order? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 73.
Notice of reconsideration has been given.
And I move and ask unanimous consent that reconsideration of Senate Bill 73 be brought up on the same day.
Without objection, reconsideration on Senate Bill 73 will be brought up on the same day at this time. Brief at ease. Senate, come back to order. Madam Secretary.
CS for Senate Bill number 73, Finance, an act relating to the loan participation program of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and to regulations of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and providing for an effective date.
We are on back in third reading under reconsideration. Do we have any debate? Question. If there's no debate, the question before the Senate is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
So by a vote of 15 yeas, 0 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 73, Finance has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent vote on final passage be considered the vote for the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Senator Ogun, Senate Bill 112.
Thank you. I'd like to bring up the reconsideration of 112, Senate Bill 112.
Senator has asked that reconsideration on Senate Bill 112 be brought up on the same day. Is there any objection? Seeing none, Madam Secretary.
CS for Senate Bill number 112, Finance, an act relating to tax refunds for government agency purchases of fuel and providing for an effective date.
We are back in third reading on reconsideration. Is there any debate? Can we have a brief at ease? Will the Senate come back to order? Senator Bundy.
Mr. President.
If we could move back up the calendar to introduction of guests, please.
Senator, we're in on a bill. If we can wait until we're done with this. Madam Secretary, had you read the title? Yes, if you would, please.
CS for Senate Bill Number 112, Finance, an act relating to tax refunds for government agency purchases of fuel and providing for an effective date.
We are on third reading under reconsideration. Is there any debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 112, Finance, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
And so by a vote of 18 yeas, 0 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 112, Finance, has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the vote on final passage will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Senator Bundy.
Thank you. Move and ask unanimous consent that we move back up the calendar to introduction again.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now that the sun's shining in Juneau, for many reasons, I'd like again to take the opportunity to introduce my strong right arm, my extended memory, my soulmate for 38 years, my wife, Angeline.
That takes us back to the calendar. Before Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. President, I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 49.
On House Bill 49. Okay. Before we have a motion to take a recess, when we recess, it's for everybody to get a bite to eat. A half hour after we recess, the Finance Committee will be meeting. The Judiciary Committee will also be meeting. It's our intent to try and come back at roughly 7:30. We do have quite a bit more to go through in third reading. And because many things will carry forward to tomorrow, very good likelihood that we will have to notice an early morning start time for tomorrow. So we'd like to get through stuff tonight so people get home a little bit early. So with that, Mr. Majority Leader.
We'll recess to 7:30 p.m.
We'll recess till 7:30 p.m. The Senate come back to order, please. Madam Secretary, the next item on the calendar, please.
Senate CS for House Bill Number 57, Finance, an act amending the manner of determining the royalty received by the state on gas production as it relates to the manufacture of certain value-added products.
We are in third reading. Do we have debate? Senator Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 57 amends existing statutory language that establishes the manner of determining the price received by the state on royalty natural gas sales for manufacturing purposes. This amendment extends the ability to enter into agreements to the lessee and the manufacturer, and it allows the manufacturer to negotiate with the state of Alaska, Commissioner of Department of Natural Resources, for future gas contracts. This bill has nothing to do with the existing gas contracts that Agrium is using to run their plant at this time, but just for future contracts. The bill will assure continued use of the state's royalty gas, therefore continuing a stream of funds coming from that gas and the sale of it. The problem we have right now in the plant in Kenai is 75% capacity, and that's all the gas they've been receiving is enough to run that plant at 75%. So they want to be able to negotiate a fixed price instead of having a look-back clause to deal with after the fact, after the product's been manufactured and sold. And finally, the bill provides a mechanism for the commissioner to enter into an agreement with Agrium to negotiate a profit sharing, if necessary, on the state's royalty share of the gas. Thank you, Mr. President.
Do we have further debate? Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. President, a question for the person carrying the bill. If we pass the legislation and becomes law, will Agrium hire back those 60 or so people they recently fired?
Senator Wagner?
I'd like to correct one statement. They haven't fired the people. They're in the process of laying off. And that will take place from now through June. And they are currently negotiating with all their staff certain programs to offer retirement. Now, whether they will hire back or not probably depends a large part on the corporate philosophy of how they're going to manage the plant and also if they get the stream of gas up to 100% again. when you're running a plant at 75% capacity, your wages are fixed, and that's a fixed cost. And so pretty hard to maintain that level of labor. I've talked to some of the people that are affected in that union, and they have hopes that they can negotiate with the company in good faith and get a good early retirement offer for some of their people that are going to lose their jobs. But this layoff has been coming for a long time. Agrium has reduced the staff in every plant they have throughout the world by reorganization and reassignment of certain parts of the workload at their plants. And with that, Mr. President, I'd like to put a call in the Senate.
There's a call in the Senate. We can continue debate while the call is being satisfied. Do we have further debate? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like the minority leader, I just have a question for the person carrying the bill. I'm leaning towards supporting it. I like the idea of keeping people working on the Kenai Peninsula, and I know that's a really important part of their economy. I guess I'd like to have explained to me what the worst-case scenario is for the impact on the state treasury should all things work out to the highest cost.
Senator Wagner.
Basically, it's an indeterminate zero fiscal note. The worst-case scenario is over 6 years, $11 million. But if the commissioner negotiates the contracts correctly, we will see very little of that loss, and especially dealing with the last statement I made when I introduced the bill, and that's that the commissioner has the ability to enter into a contract with Agrium to profit share on the product made from the natural gas and the royalty share. That's probably the best deal for the state and everybody.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, we'll take a brief at ease while the call is being satisfied.